There are only so many cars that fit at a given time on any roadway. And so when you take transportation into the third dimension and go vertical, you start to get the multiplier effect just in that industry itself, because you're taking cars off the road, you're electrifying a fleet of eVTOLs and minimizing, I think, what we're seeing now in terms of impacts from terrestrial transportation, what we're all used to.
KZSU, Stanford University's FM radio station, broadcasts across the Bay Area on 90.1 FM and worldwide at kzsu.org. And from the campus of Stanford University and on location, this is the Innovators Radio Show and Podcast. Our show illuminates the struggle, breakthroughs, and exceptional outcomes game changers bring to industries, organizations, and lives. The Innovators would like to thank Leonid Capital Partners, private credit firm, for underwriting the production, writing, and broadcasting of The Innovators. Today, we are honored, truly honored, and thrilled to be with Stan Liu, architect, principal, and president of RMW, voted the best places to work. Stan was named president in 2020. His humility and vision in assuming and accepting this role underscores his leadership approach, which is one of service to the RMW family and the professional architecture and design community. Stan, welcome to the Innovator Show. Thank you so much for being on.
Tom, thank you. Great to be here.
Stan, I'd like to get an essence of our esteemed and honorable guests. And what can you share? I think I love our segue we talked about in our digital green room, is about the culture, innovation, and mindset, and how and why it matters so much to you personally and professionally.
Happy to comment and respond to that, Tom. And the reason it's so important to me that innovation is a value and a mindset that we need to take into our work, that it allows us to grow and expand to respond to very dynamic world. And the world as we understand it today is continuing to evolve, and it's changing every year. It seems to change faster. And by having an innovation mindset, we're able to keep up in our way through our design practice to respond to all of the challenges that change brings with it. And our goal in approaching some of these challenges is to partner with some of the best organizations in the world to address some of these problems of scale that can be game changers for how we live, work, play. And we think that is just a critical underpinning value for how we do our work. And those that are static, I'm afraid over time will get left behind. And so I think technology, the cultural values, the mindset that innovation is a problem solver can really go a long way to addressing some of these issues that our societies face today. And so that's one of the drivers in my thinking about how we practice at RMW and how we approach our work with our clients.
Yeah, I noticed something, and it's a bit of a, I guess, a leap to say, but at RMW, I noticed your website and speaking with you about the projects that you've done and just the mindset and the culture. You don't do static very well. Okay,
we don't. Yeah, and so much of our work is in response and in collaboration with the changing environment around us, that we are resilient and we adapt. And we'd like to think we can adapt as quickly as any other design firm to respond to the occasion at hand. And because of the diversity of clients that we have, we know one solution does not fit all, and that's okay with us. And we draw on our 54 years of experience at this point in time to bring all of that institutional knowledge that we have for all the projects that we've done over the decades to solve these problems, these solutions that need to be developed in tandem with our clients, given the constraints and the opportunities that their particular project presents. And I'm reminded of one quote that I read in a book, and it's, the environment is the invisible hand that shapes human behavior. And as designers of the built environment, we have a direct hand in shaping how people interact with each other and how they spend their time. And these environments can lead to the innovation that we work so hard to promote and promulgate in our work. And so that's part of what drives, you know, our ongoing work. And we find a lot of commonality with at least many of the companies and clients that we work with in a growth mindset. And growth in many ways means innovating, to keep up, to get ahead, to forecast where industries are going. And the main difference that we see when we're working with this very basic clients is that the strategies to achieve that growth can be quite different. And that's what makes it really interesting for us. And depending on the sector that you're looking at or designing for, the strategies and solutions can look very different. And that's partly what in our website, Tom, when you visit it, oh, these projects are all quite diverse, and that's okay, because each solution is tailored to a specific circumstance and project. And that's what we really strive to do in every project. That said, there is a bias, a tendency to want to come up with, we'll call it a modern solution. But occasionally you come up with a client that wants to do something that looks, feels, operates in a more traditional way. And that's all right too. And so that is where we get to really enjoy the variety of work that comes through our doors. And we're not limited to one project type.
Level of range. If you can break it down as at like the essence, why does that so matter so much that you're able to, what you, in your words, be resilient and adapt? That range is important for you personally, and then of course as at your firm, RMW.
Yeah, we would say that one size does not fit all when you're trying to solve problems of scale. So one sector is not going to be able to change the climate for the better on its own. And it's only when you get the multiplicity and the multiplier effect across industries where you start to make seismic changes in the positive for where we want to take the planet's health. And so we know that just solving for transportation in itself will not be enough. Just solving for building operations will not be enough. Solving for human health and disease in itself will be not enough. But when you do it in concert across these industries together, it's really exciting for us. And it's difficult to quantify all that because these sectors are large and diverse. But we know by being able to support these multiple sectors in, say, transportation, that each incremental step moves us forward. And there's a saying that you can, you know, walk slowly, but never backwards. And so, and even if it is slow, we're going to keep moving forward, and we'll do this together with one client at a time. And in the transportation sector, we're working with some really exciting companies in advanced air mobility, for instance, that are developing EVTOLs, electric vertical takeoff and landing vehicles, that are also called flying cars. And the concept is that these EVTOLs will be electric. They may be autonomous. They may be piloted, and they will relieve some of the congestion that many of our cities experience today. And it's a problem that's not getting better on its own because the roads are only so big. There are only so many cars that fit at a given time on any roadway. And so when you take transportation into the third dimension and go vertical, you start to open up many more possibilities and commute times, travel times. And if you do this with a sustainable energy source and you're operating electrically and there's no fossil fuels burned in the operation of these vehicles, you start to get the multiplier effect just in that industry itself, because you're taking cars off the road, you're electrifying a fleet of EVTOLs and minimizing, I think, what we're seeing now in terms of impacts from terrestrial transportation, what we're all used to. That doesn't mean that we're not trying to solve on the ground as well. On the ground, we're working with electric vehicle manufacturers on their battery labs to come up with a better battery. We're working with them to help figure out how do their workplaces get designed so that they can design and engineer a better vehicle, a lighter vehicle, a safer vehicle. And these are the ones that are going to be electrically powered on our roadways, which in concert with the EVTOL industry starts to, again, that multiplier effect starts to really broaden it. And then when you tie transportation into, say, something like food security, where we're working with companies that are developing sustainable food products using plant protein, for growing meat in the lab based on animal cells. You need to start shipping those products once they're at scale to distribute into the places where you and I can access them in the grocery store. And so how does that network of transportation start to tie into food security for our country and more broadly the world? And so these are just the early days of what we can see as a tidal change coming to the world when we are moving forward together. So that's all part of that view for us, that being broad is better than being singular in one sector. And that's what keeps it really exciting for us. And every client, again, is different. We work with clients that also develop personalized medicine. And because you and I and everyone is different physiologically, why should we all be taking the same dose for a fever or for a cold or for some disease that we may be battling? It should be personalized for our unique cells. And so there are technologies and science being developed around how do we personalize medicine individual at scale so that we can have access to the right medications in the right doses so that we respond in the best way possible with minimal or no side effects. So these are things that are just really changing the way we operate in the world today. And that's just, and I know I'm going on about a lot of different things here, but these are some of the sectors we're able to touch through our practice. And I hope that answers your question about why diversity matters.
Yeah, absolutely. It well does. You're listening to the Innovators Podcast. Our guest today, Stan Liu, architect and principal and president of RMW. For more information, feel free to visit rmw.com. Stan, that you have very, you correct me if you think I'm wrong, Arisha, but a very human-centered approach to design, architecture, and the built environment. Am I off a bit or reaching?
No, you're right on, Tom. And we are client-centric and we're human-centric in our practice. And ultimately, we know that the facilities that we choose to design are for people and for those people that are working within environments and spaces that we design. We're helping them achieve, you know, their goals through their business model, through, and sometimes these clients are, you know, educational clients and they're teaching students or they're doing research. So they are looking to the future and we're helping them use space that optimizes the experience, being flexible to the outcomes that might take place in those rooms, in those buildings, in those campuses that we design. And it's definitely about people. That said, we also have to design for manufacturing, design for science, research, and collecting data. And we design facilities to support people in their endeavors to make the world a better place. And so ultimately it does come back to the people, as much as there are technical spaces that don't need as many people. And one of the projects we're working on is an autonomous electric vehicle charging garage, where right now it's in construction, but someday autonomous cars will drive in. They will pull into a charging stall, be charged by a robotic arm, detach, and the autonomous car will be on its merry way, all without human interaction. That said, those cars are on the road in service of moving people around. And we're supporting that network of infrastructure that someday you and I will have easy access to these cars that will be able to hop into. And in some of our cities today, you can see these autonomous cars, these vehicles driving themselves around without a drive.
I'm almost speechless with this. Stan, if we can go back to the growth mindset and equals innovation and innovative and forecasting, how has that really so much been a culture within RMW? What, 54 years?
Yeah. So for us specifically, the growth mindset stems from really an evolution of our practice that started as three friends started the firm in 1970. And those three friends grew the practice. And we believe that one of the early values that our founders instilled within the practice is that to have an impact, you have to reach out and you have to grow, because being still, as it were, in our industry means you're shrinking in my view. And so growth can happen in many ways. It can happen through process. And so we've certainly seen that in leaps and bounds in terms of the way we practice, leveraging building information models, augmented reality, virtual reality, the powerful rendering engines that we use to visualize our designs. That has definitely impacted our process, and that is growth, even if it's not headcount growth. But we're pushing the technology to support how we visualize the built environment in design before the first hammer hits the nail in the field. And that's okay. And we continue to look at new ways to design. So that growth mindset, I think, is really important. And there's a lot of discussion on generative artificial intelligence and how that's going to affect the design industry. And for RMW, we're investigating what that opportunity means. And we think that it is an opportunity, and we have to be clear about our direction of where we want to take that tool, generative AI, as a way to enhance the work we do. And if we can deliver more value, faster, better, more accurately, more creatively for our client because of AI, then our tendency is going to want to be to embrace that technology and leverage it for the good of our clients and the good of our process. And so that's just another example of us just growing in that direction. Now, other firms, and I can't speak for other firms, they may have a different attitude about how technology affects their practice. Also, along with that growth mindset, it's also access to clients. Like, which clients do we want to work with? And we want to work with those clients that are having impacts in the world. And so we choose to work with the technology companies. And that's one of the beautiful things about being based in the Bay Area, California, the West Coast. We have access to amazing clients that are trying to do things that have these incredible impacts at scale, you know, in the world around us. And we see this continuing for, you know, many decades to come, because there is a brain trust that's evolved out of, in many ways, the Silicon Valley, but also the entrepreneurial spirit of the West Coast. And way back when California became California, I think that still lives today in a very different form. But I think the spirit's alive, and that's what keeps driving us to want to grow with the people that we're surrounded with. And there's this concept of the meta city that's been introduced, where the meta city of today is in large part a result of what happens here in the Bay Area. And these other cities around the country are springing up based on what started here in the Bay Area. And there's this connection that links us to these other places that have also technology hubs, but they don't exist without what started here in the Bay Area, which is very interesting to me. So I think that's still true, and it will be that way for some time. And as the client base evolves and grows, we're going to go with our clients where the work will take us. And that's led to another kind of growth, and that's geographic growth. And so we're doing more work right now across the country in the United States than we have in the collective 40 years prior to the last 10 years. So I think that's an exciting evolution for us. And because of that, we're responding by looking at more opportunities outside our traditional Northern California base. And that's something that's a different kind of growth, a geographic growth. And we're already serving these clients in different places. So how can we provide greater value by being in those places in a more direct way? So these are things that we are constantly thinking about and looking ahead. And that's part of that casting for vision casting or future casting for where does the practice want to take us? And I do this with an incredible group of partners at RMW that share a common vision for where we can take the practice.
Terrific. This is a fascinating interview. We're speaking today with Stan Liu, architect, principal, and president of RMW. For more information, feel free to visit their website at rmw.com. That's rmw.com. Dan, are you at, if you're at liberty to share a recent or a project, you don't have to name names, of course, but if you'd like to, that's fine as well, that you're working on for your audience today?
Yeah, I'm happy to share. There's one project in particular that we've been working on for a period of time now, and it's for a semiconductor client, and they are developing a high-velocity innovation center here in the Bay Area, and we've been fortunate to work with them to develop the initial designs for this high velocity innovation center that will be the basis for how the chips of the future will be designed and manufactured. And so that project is currently going through planning approvals, and construction should be happening in the not too distant future. And along with that innovation center, which is an R&D center, there are a whole host of buildings associated with that project, which is part of a larger campus master plan that we've also been working, also going through the planning approvals. And at full build out, we're looking at potentially around 3 million square feet of new office space, laboratory space, support infrastructure. And at the heart of this complex is this R&D center that is focused on the future of semiconductors, which is really exciting for us because we know that these chips that are being designed today will be powering so much of the technology of the future.
It sounds as if, Stan, that you really enjoy your clients.
I really do. Yeah. I really do. Yeah. And if I had more time in the day, I'd be talking to more of them. But as we know, we're limited by the physical constraints of time. But that said, we make the most of it. And I definitely, for one, am motivated by what our clients do. And when I connect with them, it gives me energy to just keep running forward. And I'm fortunate to have a great network of peers and partners that also refer clients that we may not yet know to us. And that just helps us continue in this growth mindset and this innovation mindset, because at the end of the day, we believe, you know, we do innovation through our practice, and that means enabling innovation through design. And that's really at the core of what we do. We enable innovation through design. And it's through all those built environments at the end of the day that allow for some of this fantastic work to happen.
What would you say, how much does curiosity play in that level of innovation?
I think it's fundamental, quite a bit actually, Tom. Yeah, because what really fascinates me personally is understanding the science or the research that's taking place within the environments that, you know, we're working on. These projects, when you look at some of the projects, it's a laboratory. It's a white space. It's a white room with some equipment. But when you get beyond what has the physical space and understand what is the goal of that space, what are we doing? What problem are we solving? That's where it takes on like a totally new cast, if you will, and it reshapes your view on what architecture can do, what design can do, because through that space, we're solving hunger, we're solving congestion, we're solving disease. And that's really exciting, personally. And that's what drives a lot of me. And when I talk to our clients and the scientists and the researchers and the people that are in our spaces that we design, and we get deeper into the specifics of the science, we learn so much more. We expand our own understanding of what we're trying to do through our work. And that motivates all of us to work harder.
Stan, where does that come from? If you can put a finger on it, for lack of a better word, that level of actually curiosity, interest, innovation, it really matters. If our audience could see you, they could see that you light up. I'm sure they can hear it in your voice. Where do you think that comes from for you, in your personal experience?
It comes from, I think, a few different places, but I would say one of the areas that came from, this is from my childhood, just growing up in the home that I grew up in, and my parents allowed us free rein to find that passion. And for me, design was that passion, and I pursued that through college, and I had a curiosity for what design could do, what it could be, and that is now turned into a life's work, into designing environments that support innovation so that we could make places that make life better for all of us. And that's where I am today. But it came from, at a very young age, just simply being around my family, allowing me to explore. And I was a curious kid, so I got into a lot of things.
That's fascinating. I love this. Dan, what would you like to share with your audience today that we may not have?
I'd like to share, don't be afraid of technology. And if you embrace it and leverage it in a way that helps you live a better life, that's the way to think of technology. It's not to say technology doesn't have its challenges, and there's certainly some challenges out there on the horizon. ethics is certainly something to consider as well in the context of what technology means for ethics. But writ large, technology exists to make our lives better. And that's what we focus on. So I would just encourage people to have an open mind about how technology can help improve their lives.
Excellent. Stan, it's been an honor and pleasure having you as our guest today. Thank you very much. I hope you enjoyed the show as well.
I enjoyed it, Tom. Thank you for having me on.
Excellent. You've been listening to the Innovators Radio Show and Podcast. I'm yours truly, Tom Buro. Today, our guest has been Stan Liu, architect, principal, and president of RMW, voted the best, one of the best places to work. Stan was named president in 2020. For more information, feel free to visit their website, rmw.com, rmw.com. The Innovators would like to thank Leonid for underwriting the production, writing, and broadcasting of The Innovators. Leonid Capital Partners is the leading private credit firm focused on the United States government sector. The firm offers a variety of flexible financing options for its small and medium-sized business clients, including term loans, lines of credit, venture debt, and acquisition financing. Feel free to learn more at leonidfinance.io. The Innovators Podcast is recorded at KZSU Stanford University Studios in Stanford, California, and on location. Today, our recording engineer is Stephen Blanton, and our chief engineer is Mark Lawrence. Thank you for listening.